with Armand DeMille.
Everybody, it's Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Today, such an exciting thought. Very nice. First of all, I want to shout out to Nina and Angel Irvin in Hawaii who are listening to our program today. As we get a new listening audience over there for The Positive Mind on the Big Island. They're probably going to spread around to the other islands, I'm sure. Someday I'll get a note from Tonga and Fiji. It's great. But, you know, one of the ways you locate places, how do you know where anything is? Well, we learned something in science about a thing called you triangulate. You know, triangulation is a very interesting science because what you do is if you take two people's beams and you cross them over, eventually you could find out where a thing is located. It's a complex mechanism, but triangulation is used in almost all of science and discovery. However, triangulation is something I want to discuss today in a psychological sense. Triangulation rhymes with strangulation. It does, because triangulation very often winds up killing. Triangulation is most commonly used to express a situation in which one family member does not communicate their feelings directly to another family member, but will communicate it with a third family member in the middle, forcing the third family member to then be part of the triangle. So, brother doesn't talk to his sister. He talks to another sister. That sister carries the message to the sister. That's called triangulation. The concept originated in the study of dysfunctional family systems. But if you look closely at it, triangulation can be seen as a basis for your life. Hey, is the world going to end in 60 days? Is there going to be a major debt crisis in 60 days? Are you scared? Well, we're telling you, you've been listening to people saying, be terrified, it's going to happen. I know people who are following the Mayan calendar saying, it's going to happen. Why do you think one person tells you, believe in me, don't believe the other guy? That's triangulation. All politics, triangulation. You're a Democrat, you're a Republican, you're an independent. Believe in me, and let me tell you stories about the other guy. Triangulation. I'm going to take you so far on this journey today that you're going to believe that your mind is not your own mind, that somebody has owned it by triangulating it in some way. Do you know that all affairs, extramarital relationships, are a form of triangulation? Of course it is. It makes sense, doesn't it? Right? A woman is with a husband and she's angry at her husband. Instead, she goes out and she starts having a relationship with her masseur. Right? Why? Why? And she talks to her masseur about what a brute her husband is. Triangulation. Or a man has a relationship with some woman and he says to her how miserable his wife is. Triangulation. Triangulation is telling bad stories about another person. They used to call it signifying. In fact, there was an old Oscar Brown piece. Oscar Brown Jr. did a piece called Signifying Monkey. Signifying is I'm going to tell stories about you. And I'm going to tell, in fact, here's a little bit of it. I'll play you just a little bit of it from the 60s. Listen to this.
said the signifying monkey to the lion one day, hey, there's a great big elephant down the way, going round talking, I'm sorry to say, about your mama in a scandalous way. Yes, he's talking about your mama and your grandma too, and he don't show too much respect for you. Now, you weren't here, and I sure am glad, cause what he said about your mama made me mad. Signifying monkey, stay up in your tree.
Pretty brave, but you know people like that, don't you? Don't you know signifying people? Well, signifying people are well-versed at triangulation because it must have happened to them in childhood. Listen, think about this. According to the psychological scientists, they said learning to triangulate is a very important thing for a child's independence. There is a child who is connected to their mother, and they have this symbiotic relationship. They are so close. A mother brings up her son or her daughter, and that child is like almost engulfed by the parent. Not like in nature where, you know, you drop the foal, you know, the horse drops the foal and then walks away and watches the foal. No, 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 not us. We're going to hold that child close. We're going to hold that infant close. And that infant has a threat of being completely absorbed by the parent, completely taken over. Triangulation is the presence of the father. Right now there's dad. Dad's this outside guy. He's outside that beautiful, and he's kind of enticing. He's saying, come on, there's a world outside of you and your mom. And that's part of the healthy triangulation that takes place. It's an important part in our developing. You know, the triangle, and it's be so now you get up. Now here's what's wrong in dysfunctional families. There's only good or bad. You see, the child is seen that the one person who they are triangulating with, they conspire with, and that's the good parent, and the other one is the bad parent. This especially happens in alcoholism, when there is an alcoholic parent who is taking on a child and telling the child about how bad dad is, or the obvious, or the opposite of that. They actually involve, the father will involve the child in trying to cure the alcoholism of the other parent. Triangulation is another word for it is called splitting, in which one person plays the third family member against one that he or she upset about. This is played the two people against each other. So sometimes you play two people against each other and you're in the middle, you're the innocent. In the field of psychology, like we said, it's a natural step of evolution, but you know, all of you have been grown up with this. And we were talking, tomorrow I will present to you on Facebook a short thing about the end of the season. We normally had a Thursday program. We no longer have one. So I try to present to you on Facebook a Thursday program. And we're going to talk about New Year's resolutions. And we're going to talk about one aspect of the resolution, which has to do with the fact that the biggest resolution is people saying, I wish I could spend more time with my friends and family. Well, part of the reason you don't is because of early triangulation. Early triangulation is a chance, is seeing a black-white, seeing a good-bad. When people come to talk to me, usually they will say there is one evil parent and one good parent, you know? But very often they talk about how there are certain people, especially in borderline personality disorder, where the person can't see themselves as bad ever. So they're always blaming and angry. And so, in effect, they triangulate by they make one person bad, usually their mate, and they make themselves good and innocent. They're just an innocent victim. And they normally can't see their own behaviors. Now, how is that triangulation? It's triangulation because you have, each person has a real self and a false self. And sometimes you split off from your real self and it gets complex. Now you're two people. You know, which one are you? Are you all good? Nobody's all good. But when you paint yourself as all good and all innocent, and you can't see yourself, you've created this other person, this alternate reality. A guy named Murray Bowen was a family therapist. I was impressed by him. He theorized that a two-person emotional system is unstable in that it forms itself into a three-person system or triangle under stress. He said that it's an indicator of stress. When there is stress, there is a tendency to create a triangulation. If there's stress in the family, there's a tendency to do it. And that's when he talked about alcoholism and how there's the non-drinking parent will go to the child and express dissatisfaction. You know, that they have dissatisfaction. It's like they talk about it. I was saying this yesterday as well, that when you have a good friend, complaining to your friend about your mate, that's triangulation. Now, what's your friend supposed to do when he sees your mate and he knows things about your mate? He's caught in this spot. Triangulation. Some people don't do it. Some people refuse to be a part of it. They refuse to say anything bad about anyone. And they never tell stories. All gossip is an attempt at triangulating. Why would I gossip about someone else unless I'm trying to get you to see them in a negative way? Melanie Klein had a belief. They said, within each of us, there is a part when we get triangulated and we become part of a triangulation family. There's a part of us that knows the truth. And then there's another part of us that denies it. We know the truth and we deny the truth. And that was Anna Freud's definition of what neurosis was. A part of you knows the truth and another part of you denies the truth. And because there are two parts of you working, they call that splitting the ego. The part of you that doesn't want to know the truth, that denies the truth, joins in this triangulation, the stories. So this kind of splitting is kind of a defense. It's what you want to do. It's like you want to protect yourself in some way. And you're attaching yourself. But not only are you attaching yourself, somebody else bigger than you is attaching you. It amazes me how men very often, they have a difficulty becoming men. Let's say you're a man and you have a strong, dominant mother. Now, what's a strong, dominant mother? Your mother may be vulnerable, and she may be sweet, and she may be all that stuff. But she seems to call the shot. She's been married a few times, and she has her children, and she carries her children through. These children see her as the ideal. And she's the ideal, and then they have to deal with their own mates. So how do you get married when you have a mother ideal that's so fantastic, that she's so powerful and takes care of you? How does a man separate from his mother? How does he do it? Some guys I know have been lucky to have mothers that were miserable because they break away. You know, they break away from it. But a lot of people are so attached to their mothers that they don't allow any other romance in, any other relationship. Again, the triangle becomes you, your mother, and your wife. How many times do we see that with in-laws? Where's your loyalty? Where's your faith? You know, who do you really believe? Who do you really defend? This is Armand DeMille with you. So you've all kind of been through this. Most of you have been through this, where you have been chosen as the person who is the confidant. And what do you do as a child, you know? As a child, you're kind of looking and you're saying, I don't want to turn away my mother or my father, whoever's ever talking to me. Because in many ways, you know, when you have a good example of this is a mama's boy. What does that mean? A mama's boy is a person who says, I triangulate, I am against my father, I love my mother. And if you look close, a mama's boy is attached to mama. And that's it. There's no room for anybody else. It's their way of having, it's like having a husband, like having a surrogate husband. You know, it's like mama decides she can't handle dad. So she takes her son and brings him in as her husband. Or in the opposite of that, with a daddy's little girl, the same kind of thing. I can't tell you how many times women come to me for consultation and they talk to me and they tell me that they were their dad's favorite. And then I say to them, is it true that women get jealous of you? And they're always startled by my perception that they believe that. There's a thing that happens with women who are daddy's favorite. They believe somewhere that mommy hates them for it. And so they're waiting for revenge. And they are waiting for it. And they're waiting to be punished by mama. And so they talk about how women hate them. Women are jealous of them. Women are against them. There's a consequence to making your daughter your little girl. There's a consequence to it, you know. Of course, very often you let them go at the same time. So if a person is triangulated in a real neurotic way, they're really not let out of the channel. They're not allowed to be themselves. Most of the people I know are. Most of the people I've seen, even if they're daddy's little girl, when they're little, that's okay. They're allowed to grow up. The mama's boys are allowed to grow up. I like the phrase son, for a mother to call her child son. You know, it's a good word. So I'm going to take your calls about this. I'd like to hear you talk about your own experiences with being triangulated. Most people I know through their childhood have had to deal with this in some way. And our telephone number here is 212-209-2900. Yes, it'll be the last time this year that we'll be able to take your calls, so I would love to hear from you as well. Let's go to just one step further, which is called a false dilemma. A false dilemma, it's like a fallacy of dilemma. You believe that you have to make a choice, that there's an all good or an all bad. Think about all the places where you've ever been caught in life where you've had to make a choice. Think about a job you've had where people have asked you to take sides. And you try to take one side or the other side as if one side is all good and the other side is all bad. And you're asked, I've seen it everywhere. I've seen it in some of the most progressive people. They try to ask you to take sides, and pacifists ask you to take sides as well. So they're asking you to take sides with them in a way, and you're trying to see, is there really an issue here? If you're not with me, you're against me. Does that sound like a familiar conversation? Does that sound like something that people have said? You know, if you're not with me, you're against me. If you are not with us, you're against us. That's a fallacy. It's not true. I'm not with you just because you rebel, but I'm not against you. I have seen factions fighting against each other all the time, asking me, please join my faction. Be part of my faction. And I say, no, you both have something to say.
There's some people lined up.
212-209-2900. We're going to be taking your calls. Well, let's take one of your calls right now. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Hi, you're on the air.
Okay. Hi, Armand. Hi.
Hello there. What's your name?
My name is Sonia Ingram.
Hello, Sonia.
Yes. And I want to say that I really like this particular show is really very interesting from my point of view because it really captures what happened with my family dynamics. I came from a family of five. I'm the oldest. And my mother and father were always fighting. It was clear very on that I had to identify, you know, I had to be with my mother, not with my father. Both of them wanted me to make them their little girls, you know. and to some extent accomplished that objective. But I kind of rebelled and went on my own way, but I still have some of the seeds of that in my personality. But what happened was that after I left the family, they did the same thing with my sisters and brothers. So now I'm the bad person in the family that they don't like, and they rebel against me. I can't tell them anything. I don't have any opinions that they will listen to. And it's now going on to the third generation.
So, it becomes very difficult, doesn't it, Sonia, when you see such a dysfunctional system, and yet you want to have a family. You want to have sisters, you want to have a family, you want to have it, but they just do this dysfunctional stuff. And for a while, a man came to me, and he was being sued for divorce by his wife, and she was alienating the child against him. And he said to me, crying in a chair, he said, when will my child ever come to me? She thinks I'm evil. And I said to him, it's going to clear. There'll be a day when she sees what the truth is. And it's not that you're not bad, and it's not that you're not good. It's that everybody is both. Mm-hmm. Well, your family, they thought the only way to do it was to actually get a person over on one side only.
Right.
I'm sorry, Sonia. That must be miserable. You know what must make it difficult also? It must make it difficult for you to have friends.
Well, I'm in sales.
Uh-huh.
So I go out, my best friends are the ones that they see who I am.
So they can see both your good sides and your bad parts. What do you sell?
I'm an investment. I manage money. I'm an asset manager.
Okay, so as an asset manager, did you ever think of when Bernie Madoff came along?
Uh-huh.
Right? There's somebody you could point out. Right?
Well, yeah, he was not a good guy.
Okay, so there's a target for you. You could actually take that as a target, and you could say, there's a bad guy, and I am a good guy.
Right.
Or you could say we're all part of the system.
Right.
Bernie Madoff and I were part of the same family.
Right. But I don't try to do things like Bernie Madoff does.
No,
I mean,
of course not. But there
I'm not that kind of a person. Actually, I'm probably overcompensating because my family doesn't listen to anything I have to say. So, for example, I told them not, to be very careful about investing before the financial crisis and the mortgage breakdown. But they didn't listen to me. It's so frustrating.
Well, there it is again. That's kind of what happens, As a parent, you'll find that too. They don't listen, and they're not supposed to listen. They're not supposed to listen. They're so used to one being all good or all bad, they don't know which way to go. It's hard to weigh things. Part of what makes a person ineffective in life is not being able to hold all sides of a story. Mm-hmm. They can only go one way or another. Well, Sonia, so
how do I, it really hurts with my sisters when I try to be a good, older sister, give them guidance, and it gets rejected.
Sure.
Out of
so why don't you stop being an older sister and just be a sister? How about that?
So what does that look like?
That looks like you go and you buy a game that you all used to play together. Remember when you used to play jump rope?
Or whatever, right.
Or whatever you played. And you say to them, let's get together and play cards. Let's get together and jump rope. Let's get together and do something. Well, you're an equal member of the group.
Mm.
Instead of going in as the older sister. Because you got to give up that role, too. That's another one. The older child is another triangulated role. You know what I mean? You're the substitute mama.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
So you got to get out of that spot. Maybe ask them for advice.
I see.
What do they do?
Oh, they're all doing well. you know, in terms of careers and everything.
So maybe it's time for you to go to them for advice so that they can see that you're not stuck in that role. Because mm-hmm. we're all in it together, you know. Mm-hmm. And whatever you do, never talk badly about your parents or talk badly about the other person. Just take that out of your formula.
Don't talk badly about them.
Don't talk badly about anybody.
Don't ever blame anybody. Is that
That's
what you're
it.
Saying?
That's it.
You know, if somebody does something I don't like, just walk away?
No, not just walk away. If somebody does something you don't like, you could confront it. Mm-hmm. But if they do something you don't like and you don't confront it, don't go telling the other guy.
Okay.
You know what
uh-huh.
I mean.
Uh-huh. All right. So that, okay. So yeah, there is that tendency. Okay.
Sure there is. Thank you very much for joining us.
All right. Thank you.
Sure. 212-209-2900. This is Armando Miller. We're talking about triangulation. Always a temptation. Always a temptation. Always a temptation to talk about somebody else and try to make yourself bigger. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armando Miller.
Hi, Armand. This is Sue. And I have no relationship. Well, yeah, no contact with my mother, and my father passed away 7 years ago almost.
Wow.
And thanks to you, I and your advice, I did go to the funeral. So that was very very helpful. And but the thing is that when you were talking about triangulation, I said, well, that didn't happen in my family. And then you described the daddy's little girl thing, and I was thinking about it. I sensed even as a child that there wasn't a good rapport with my parents, although they were very committed to each other forever. But I think that, and I feel that my mother is my adversary, and she never misses an opportunity to say something cruel.
Isn't that something? But who blames her?
Who blames her?
Daddy made her believe that you stole daddy away. You know what I mean? That's the way they do it.
What? I lost something.
By being daddy's little girl, it automatically put your mother as an opponent.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And so,
it's not you doing it. It's like it's how dysfunctional people deal with each other. It's not your fault, not their fault. It's a fault.
Well, I have always and still do to this moment feel that, I mean, intellectually I know it's not, but on an emotional level, I don't have my mother, and that's very difficult for me. But is there a way to get beyond this? I would like to
yes.
have a relationship, to write to her and say just the right things.
How about you sit down with her and you meet with her, and you relax, and you do it in such a relaxing way, and you open up this issue?
But from what perspective? I feel that no matter what, she tells me out now. She said your feelings are invalid.
Mm.
So
tell your mother that you think that it is very important that she and you go to counseling together, so that you can see how to heal this relationship.
She lives in Florida. I live in New York.
Not so far away.
Not so far.
Not so far away. You
for
can make
counseling?
It happen. Yeah, you can make it happen.
I should
Even
go
if
there?
You meet one time, either way.
One time?
One time. Meet with somebody. Straighten it out. Get somebody in the middle.
One time. I don't see how that would possibly... I remember as a teenager, we went to family therapy, and I was the bad guy. You know, it was like them against me.
Yeah.
My father actually did disconnect from me when I turned like 12, 13.
Yeah. I'm sure you need a third person in the middle. But it's got to be a friendlier conversation. Listen, we have to take a short break.
Uh-huh.
And when we come back, we'll continue with this. Okay?
Okay. Thanks.
This is Armando Mill, WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. This is music that I'm playing because it comes near the end of the year, and it's from Chuck Greenberg, who was part of Shadow Facts, who is no longer with us. But he gave us permission for this before he died, and this is called, of all things, Angel's Flight. You know, that's 40 years old. Something, huh? This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Here on WBAI, 2010 on its way out, huh? 2010, going into 11. Listen, everybody wants to scare you so you'll join their side. You know, fear is the bonder. That's part of triangulation. You scare a kid into bonding with you. And then they bond with you, and then you say, see, the enemy's out there, the enemy's out there, the enemy is daddy, the enemy is mommy. And out of fear. So if you're somebody who's basically frightful or fearful, you're always going to triangulate. Triangulation, setting up a third party and alienating them in some way. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another one of your calls. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand. My name is Sharon.
Hi, Sharon. Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, thanks for this conversation. I'm just amazed by... I had a situation where my mother was chronically depressed all my life, and my father always confided in me. I didn't realize there was a word for it. But I had something happen. I'm 41 years old. I had a separation from my husband. And because of my desires not to agree with them about what to do, whether to reunite or get a divorce, because I'm the youngest, there's a lot of control issues. I had everyone ganging up on me, and when I tried to, you know, I guess this is my point. I took a class in the alcoholic family, and it talked about how there's a mascot, which is usually the oldest child, and the youngest child usually the scapegoat. And I, sitting around a table, said, isn't this interesting? We have a chronically depressed mother, and here we have this wonderful dynamic of the mascot, older brother who's perfect, pointing down at the scapegoat and blaming, saying, what happened to my sister? And what I did was I said, listen, you know, mom is chronically depressed. You know, I just love the fact that everyone can not look to her or anybody else in the family, but just point at me. And just because I disagree with you, everyone's demonizing me. And so my point is this, the triangulation occurred at a very young age, triangulation. And I'm wondering if this is a dynamic where, like in this type of family, where the scapegoat is then the one who's triangulated.
Sure.
Eventually.
Sure. Everybody in that family will get triangulated. You're going through a divorce now?
No, I reunited with my husband and things are going well.
Well, I'm surprised because, you know, lawyers are the best of triangulators. That's how they make their living.
Right. No, I didn't get a divorce. I separated. And the issue was that everyone was against the fact that I wanted to reunite with my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And so for some reason, because they thought I was wrong, they were saying I was a bad mother, all these things that they didn't know. And they really didn't know. And I see it as a symptom of a triangulated family where now I'm the one who's on the outs. And I'm being triangulated. it's just very interesting.
You see, though, so what's your name, Sharon?
Yes.
Sharon, though, you see, this is when you get to be wise, which is where you are now.
I'm getting this. I hope so.
They don't have to be aware. You have to move as if they will never know the truth.
Yeah,
so don't argue your truth. Don't argue your truth.
I removed myself.
Yeah,
removed
of course
myself.
You did. Of course you did. So instead of arguing the truth and trying to make them believe that you know your way, just say, I understand. That's part of their illness. That's part of what they have to do. They have to not
demonize me and my husband. And we're friendly, and they're not bad. We're not nasty with each other, but I won't stay there, you know. Until they recognize my husband. So they're kind of rejecting my husband, which I find to be a rejection of my respect, their respect for me.
In a way, that's what they do as well, because it's a way of rejecting a person is by rejecting their mate as well. But you've got time. I mean, how old are you? You're 41 years old?
Yeah.
You got 34 years at least to straighten it out before you got to sit by the fireplace.
I think there's hope. I just thought this was so, I never knew there was a term for it, and you really opened my eyes to that, so I want to thank you.
Thank you. I'm glad you enjoy that. Thank you very much for calling in.
Have a great day.
Okay, Sharon.
Bye-bye. Bye.
212-209-2900. Yep, you never knew you were in the middle of it, right? Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand. This is Wayne.
Hello, Wayne.
Nice to talk to you again.
Nice to talk to you again.
I was listening to your show, and it just reminded me when I was young, my father was an alcoholic, and my mother used to take the time out to tell us that every day.
Yeah, and she would tell you about how evil your dad was and how bad it was and how rough he made life for her. So she was powerless, you see? And it comes out of powerlessness.
She was kind of borderline-ish and bipolar, a little, you know, off to begin with. But what's interesting, when he got married again, I have a sister who's 3 years younger than I. He got married again, and his wife, they had two new children, and he stopped drinking, so he started doing very well. But wouldn't associate with us. His wife and him kept us out all the way to the funeral. I didn't even know if I should go, but I went with my sister. And when I get to the door, he worked at the fire department, so there's a lot of people because he was a maintenance man. And the guy at the door says, "Standing room only, please," he tells me. And I'm like, "Oh, I'm his son." My sister had made it in. And in the funeral, I'm standing outside and I'm listening to them say, "Mickey loved his two children, Adam and Judy." My sister was mortified, and I was mortified. They totally excluded us, you know, from the, I guess, funeral.
Well, they didn't exclude you. Somebody didn't include you.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, let's think about it for a minute, though. You showed up at his funeral so late that you could only get into standing room.
Oh, no, it was about three minutes late.
I know, but there's a piece of you that was fighting this as well. You know what I mean? I mean, sure, of course your family was mortified, but it's like...
No, I was mortified. My family, no one even knew I was there. It wasn't really. I was just, I was contemplating on going the night before. I was talking to my girlfriend, and I said, I don't really want to go.
You don't really want to go. Yeah,
I didn't really want to go, and I figured, well, let's say he left me something or something to show him that he loved me. I would have just, under my heart, understood that, but if I knew if I went, and he didn't leave anything, which he didn't, and I had to deal with the funeral, I thought I'd feel worse. So.
Yeah. Well, it's hard growing up, you know? It's very hard to grow up and be an adult and live in an adult body and take the pains of adulthood. It's hard to let things be what they are without carrying around a resentment. It's very tough.
But it's also interesting how you talk about Murray Bowen. He talked about differentiation.
That's right.
One family can't differentiate that much, and I always tried to work on myself to try to differentiate. I'm not sure I believed in that, but I guess the work is hard.
The work is hard. A work in progress all the time. Thanks for calling in, and thanks. Nice to hear your voice again.
You too.
Bye-bye, Wayne.
Bye-bye.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, Armand.
Hi there.
I actually grew up in a household where my mother and father had a very horrible relationship, wherein though I kind of stepped in as the patriarch, and it's remained that way ever since. Now we're all adults and everyone's moved out, and I find myself having a very difficult time with committed relationships. I want to know if there's a correlation between triangulation and that.
Sure, and what committed relationship? The ones that you would have with somebody else?
Exactly.
Okay, so you were the patriarch of the family, meaning you were married to Mom.
Yes.
How do you get a divorce?
I don't know. I mean, I don't want to live there, but...
I know, but this is it. Married to Mom is something that goes so deep. It gets very hard to get a divorce. It gets very hard to say, I've got to separate from this. I've got to leave this behind. So have you let anybody into your life at all?
I have, and I've never been able to commit to them. As soon as it seems like it's getting serious, I find myself looking for an exit of some sort.
Sure. And you know how long that's going to last? That's going to last as long as it needs to. And then as you get older, and as you get wiser, you find yourself relaxing. And then you'll meet somebody and you'll say, hey, wait a minute. It doesn't feel the same anymore. I don't have to run as hard. And it'll actually feel, you'll feel a felt shift. And you'll say, wow, I can actually stay with this person. And it'll be bumpy, and it'll be like a roller coaster for a while. And little by little, you'll find yourself growing in intimacy until you finally make that separation, and you could be your own patriarch. You know? Takes time. Takes time, takes wisdom, takes awareness. But obviously you're a growing person. Obviously.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Alan.
It's my pleasure.
Have a great day.
Thank you. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille on the air with you. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there. 212, there we go. Hello.
I'm here.
Yes, hi.
This is Michael.
Hello, Michael.
Hi, Armand.
Michael, turn down your radio all the way, please. Has to be off. I hear it in the background.
Got it.
It's off now, right?
Yes, it's off.
And now, are you on a speakerphone?
I am.
Could you get off the speakerphone? And
I don't know. My battery might be bad on my, my wireless phone, but let me try it.
Try it. Try it.
Okay, I'm here now.
Oh, that's beautiful. Now you're really here.
Good. Okay, Armand.
Yes.
I just happened on you on the radio, and I've been having a lot of trouble this past year, and one of the things is my mother is passing, and my sister is not keeping me in touch with what's going on.
Yeah. So you and your sister, you and your sister always had some kind of battle?
Not really. I mean, she was always kind of separate. She's married to somebody else. My spouse was actually murdered in Jamaica.
Wow.
Earlier this year.
Wow, wow, wow. What a horrible thing for you to go through.
Yeah, I had a lot of bad things happen to me this past year. I don't want to talk about me, though. I want to...
Why don't you want to talk about you?
Well, not that I don't want to. It's just that...
What's your name, by the way?
Well, when you talk about things, you kind of revive them, and they kind of recycle,
sure.
You know?
And you get feelings about it. What's your name?
I'm Michael.
Michael, you know, Michael, here's what I hear from you. I hear that you're trying your very best to keep things going, but you're like on a speakerphone. You know, you've removed yourself. I know you are literally, but I'm saying figuratively. You're like removed. It's like there's a piece of you that has been knocked all over the place this year.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to be objective.
That's not the only answer. Have you cried?
I've had tears, that's for sure.
Yeah, because that's the important part.
The important thing is my sister, they live in another state, and my mother was hospitalized, and now they want to put her in a nursing home, and they're not returning my calls, and I'm just feeling upset about it because my mother was a great influence in my life, and she deserves better than this, I think.
So why don't you go there?
It's a matter of credit cards and money and having trouble with the landlord here, and I have to maintain my own space, you know?
Yeah, I understand that. I've seen so many men in your position where, you know, from a distance you're saying, treat my mother right, but I can't get there to take care of her.
My sister is, you know, she's got power of attorney, and she's trying to manipulate my mother's funds, and she's given the house to my her daughter. You know, there's just a lot of problems there.
Yeah, I understand.
I should go, but, I mean, it's a matter of money. You know, I'm not in a great financial position. I'm retired already.
Yeah. Very, very difficult, Michael. Very difficult, and a difficult situation for you because you're fragile. You know, you're fragile.
I'm fragile.
Yeah, you're fragile. You've been beaten
up
a bit.
I am. I admit it. I mean, I'm sensitive to all this, too.
And it hurts. And I think the one thing you might do is instead of blaming your sister...
not blaming her. I'm just not happy with it.
Yeah,
you know.
Of course. But what you've got this oppositional position with her. You and she are opposing each other at this point, and they don't want to talk to you because of the opposition. So you've got to stop trying to be right in this case. And the only thing that's going to work is if you say, all I do is care about all of us, not just mom, but you too. And if you can't do it, including your sister, yeah. She needs to feel loved as well.
Well, she's got three kids of her own. My brother has seven kids. I have no children. My spouse is dead. I have no real advocate in this. And I leave messages and they don't respond, you know.
Sure. Well, Michael, let you know that you got a group of people who are listening to you, and all our hearts go out to you right now. It's a tough situation for you. But sometimes you just got to lay back.
Well, I'm trying to do that. I'm cleaning up the apartment.
I
you know, I had a I had a mouse invasion in my apartment. I'm cleaning up about that, you know, all the mouse crap around the place. And I got my landlord trying to raise the rent. You know, I got a lot of things on my plate right now.
Rough plate. It's very, very tough being a grown-up in this world. Very tough, especially when you're alone. But you're not alone. You got all of us with you.
Well, I appreciate that.
Thanks for calling in, Michael.
Oh, you're welcome.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand. This is Max from Staten Island.
Hello, Max from Staten Island. Good.
It's not my real name. When you talked about triangulation, I said, I've got to call today. And I've heard all of these callers and all of just my heart goes out. It's so tough. And I'm going through a tough time, too, I'm the youngest of five boys. And I have my mom and dad recently divorced. And my brother has taken over as my mom's caregiver. And she's in good health. She has what she needs. She has what she wants. But she gets whiny. And my brother naturally, you know, picks on me because, well, I should be doing more. It's tough for me to even be there a lot of the time.
Sure.
Even some of the time. I don't want to be there. It's just so tough for me to be there.
Of course it is. Of course it is. What don't you get? What's missing?
Love, understanding.
Yeah.
And my opinion doesn't count. I don't count.
Yeah, you don't count. So that's kind of the worst scenario. You're invisible.
Wow. Do I have to be in the worst scenario, Armand? I could hurt. I could cry in half a second, really, just thinking about this.
Yeah.
Because these are the people that I love, and it's hard to break away, and often I have to break away. And this is my family, and I hear from people who I know, well, how come you're not there with your mother? And I get pretty darn angry when people ask me that. It's darn tough to be there. It hurts for me to be there. I'm put down in front of people when I'm there. Yet I'm functioning well in this world, and I'm trying the best I can, and I'm seeing where maybe I shouldn't be there because it doesn't work for me.
Sure. Max, I can certainly understand what you're saying, and I could hear your tears. I could hear the tears.
And I'm glad I can cry, Armand.
I'm glad you can cry,
too. I don't know what I'd be doing. And
yeah.
I'm working hard at my job, and I'm being very patient at my job. And that counts to me.
Yes, it does.
I should be patient with people.
You've been impatient with people in the past, right?
I sure have been impatient.
So you're learning. You're learning how to get yourself and see yourself in a different way. You're seeing your own personality emerging now. And it feels very rough. You want to scream. You want to yell at everybody. Look at me. Look at me. But yet there's another part of you that's saying, I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get recognized, and I'm going to be okay without it. I hear you. It's beautiful.
I've come out as a gay man.
Mm-hmm.
I've decided this is best for me. And when I face this, me as a gay man, I'm able to see myself in a better light, a position that works for me. Myself. I'm
much
more
better.
Verbal.
Much
yeah,
better.
I feel more productive. I feel verbal when I need to be verbal.
Well, thank you very much for calling in, and Happy New Year to you for next
for
year.
For helping with my work, Armand.
Sure.
Thanks.
Sure. 212-209-2900. It's nice when you can figure out what you are, you know? Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand. I won't be long. I want to wish everybody the best, and like you an awful lot, and we wish you more time on the radio and everything.
Thank you, Monroe.
But listen, I just want to know whether you think you can help me in one session, or what do you estimate would be the cost to help me, because you know me pretty well.
You know, Monroe, I do know you pretty well.
I mean, the thing is, I've tried my best for the station.
You have gone. Let's not talk about the station.
And I didn't mean any harm to a person.
Okay, but wait. Let me answer it. Let me ask you. If you're not just sucking me in, let me answer your question for it, okay?
Sure.
Let's not talk about the station. I have seen you change over the last 10 years. I have seen you grow. I have heard you grow, and I have heard you evolving. So I'm going to say to you, you'd be a teacher to many people, but as you calm down and you get more into yourself, it's happening. It's happening.
Yeah, well,
I certainly will offer you guidance, and I'll point you in a direction if you need that, and we'll do that when you call my office. But you're, as far as I'm concerned, you've always been a beautiful man.
Well, thank you.
Just with a loud bark.
I want others to get on.
Okay, thank you very much, Monroe. Right. Happy New Year to you, friend. 212-209-2900. This is Armand. Let's take one more call. Hi there, you're on the air. Hello there.
Oh, hi. I had just a very kind of basic question, thing I wanted to understand, which I think very early on in the show you were saying, you know, when a girlfriend tells you about the guy she's dating or her husband, that they're triangulating you. And, you know, it just struck me how fundamental, especially, I guess, with women. I don't know how much men do it. But we are always talking about our relationships, you know, with our boss, our sisters, you know, guys that we're interested in. And it just seems to me like, how could you ever avoid triangulating?
Isn't that a funny thing, you know? And men, they don't talk about their wives and girlfriends.
Well, you know.
No, they don't, in general. They
you
talk
really think so?
Yeah, I know so.
Well,
I know
what the
so.
Heck do they I mean, that's what they're talking about, football or something?
No, I run men's group. No, men talk about themselves and their feelings, but they don't talk about their wives and their girlfriends. They don't.
I mean, my sense is...
I know, and women don't believe this. Women say, it can't be true.
Well,
but they don't. They don't do that.
I do believe you. I just think for a woman, it probably couldn't be true. Because on the good side, I mean, I'm not saying it's all positive. There is nastiness, but I do see the negative way people talk about, you know, whomever's in their life. But on the good side, I think when it's positive, I mean, I'll talk or somebody will talk to me about a painful situation that they want to work on, you know. And I'm just wondering what the guideline is. Like, how do you ever talk about something, you know, personal without making it a triangulating thing?
Well, here's the real question I've always had. Are you afraid to be close to the other person without talking about other people? You know, could you be close? Could you talk to each other? Could you be with each other without involving talking about your mates? Not that it's wrong to do, because I do agree with you. It does seem to be the way that people do it. But it would be very interesting to make a deal and say, let's not talk about any men. Let's just be around. Let's go to the movies. Let's hang out. And that challenge usually invites somebody to a much deeper level of intimacy. Might be really worthwhile. And as far as I'm concerned, people don't want advice, even if they ask for it. Because as you know, somebody will come to you and say, what do you advise? And you'll advise them, and then they'll do the opposite thing.
Yeah, I agree. Sometimes people just want to, you know, witch and moan. I mean, sometimes people just want to vent, maybe.
Sure.
But sometimes they really aren't sure of their position. Like, they want a sounding. Like, sometimes they really
sure.
don't.
Sure, I understand. You know? I understand.
And I do like those. I like those conversations both ways. I like to get somebody else's view because I don't want to go back to someone that I'm upset with. If I'm overloaded on it, you know, there could be another perspective that helps me. So
well,
I
by the time you're listening to somebody else's other perspective that enables you to separate, mm-hmm. you've already separated yourself.
Meaning that I didn't need to talk to them?
Yeah, the advice really didn't mean all that much, but you were ready to make the move yourself.
Right.
Listen, thank you very much. You're the last caller we're going to take. What's your name?
Oh, Marie.
Marie, thank you very
thank
much
you
for
so much.
Being
I love you
here.
So.
I will be... other than tomorrow's program, which will be on Facebook, I will be back with you guys next year, you know, and we'll see what 2011 has to bring us, including the abolition of the entire universe, or whatever. Be back with you tomorrow, my friends.
Take care. Can you hear me? Hello?
be back next Tuesday at 1 o'clock.